Well, friends, Jesus Christ once said to the people of Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing." That's in Matthew 23:37. And in these words, Jesus was not condemning the children, but the parents of the children. He's saying, in effect, "I wanted to gather your children together, but you did not want me to do that." Jesus was referring to the tremendous change that took place in the culture of Jerusalem over the centuries. Parents in Jerusalem had not passed on the teaching of God's grace to their children. Jerusalem, it was the great flourishing city that was an example to all the world. The prophet Jeremiah said it was a great city. It was great among the nations, a princess among the provinces. That was the perfection of beauty and the joy of all the earth. That's in Lamentations 1, verse 1. Lamentations 2 verse 15. But now Jesus had to weep when he saw the ungodly culture of Jerusalem that had developed. Jesus witnessed the enormous the erroneous zeal of his generation in connection with what true righteousness was and what eternal salvation actually was. And he was brokenhearted over the deteriorating spiritual state of Jerusalem, his nation. Now, some generations have concerns and great convictions about reality and truth. And there are other generations who are not particularly bothered about truth. They're even careless about what's going to happen to them and where they're heading, about their own destiny. Now, in Jesus' generation, Jerusalem was concerned about truth. They were brought up to value truth, the very truth of God. Israel were unique among all the nations in having the privilege of special revelation from God, which other nations did not have. The Jews are a people who believe and have strong convictions about truth. But the problem now is Jesus saw was that they had departed from these fundamentals of the truth and their faith and adopted erroneous beliefs from the nations around them. They definitely did not believe Jesus was the promised Messiah of Israel. They had another completely different set of ideals, values, traditions and convictions about the Messiah and his kingdom, what it would look like. They had already got rid of many faithful prophets who warned Israel of their departure from the main essential truths about the grace of God. And, well, they were now about to get rid of Jesus too. Now, our 21st UK generation are the same. We're actually not too bothered about truth and reality. If something works for you, well, that's fine. We're a very pragmatic generation. If something makes us feel good and it works for us, then that's fine. That's truth for us. But it may be something completely different for me, we say. Absolute truth, objective truth, is not important to our culture. But absolute truth was important to Jesus, and it is essential for every generation. Some of the vitally important fundamental truths and the kernel of the gospel has been lost to us as that one generation passed on to the next generation its convictions and beliefs. And the bottom line is that we as a nation have failed to pass on, as a generation really, have failed to pass on in the past decades and decades, the essential elements of God's word to succeeding generations. Christians need to recapture the Apostle Paul's instructions about teaching. We must pass on what we've been told about truth to the next generation, the vitally important truths of the gospel. And with the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians and telling them, he says, I've delivered, I've passed on to you as a first importance, essentials of the faith, what I also received, the things I received from God, I've passed them on. That's in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. And he also said, wrote to Timothy, and he said, what you've heard from me, as a teacher he was referring to, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust, commit, pass on to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. That's 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Now, Chuck Colson said this, he wrote this, on his 80th birthday, J.I. Packer said the great challenge for the church in the 21st century was to re-catechize and disciple believers. We must re-catechize and disciple believers. Packer, with Gary Parrott in their excellent book, Grounded in the Gospel, highly recommends the catechizing model for passing on to other generations. They advocate that never has there been more time, energy, resources been poured into youth works, yet the churches are empty of young people. And whatever we have replaced catechizing with, it hasn't worked. Now, Packer quotes Michael Spencer, writing about the great evangelical collapse. Open quotes. We evangelicals, he said, have failed to pass on to our young people an orthodox form of faith that can take root and survive the secular onslaught. Ironically, the billions of dollars we've spent on youth ministries, Christian music, publishing and media has produced a culture of young Christians who know nothing, or next to nothing rather, about their own faith, except how they should feel about it. Our young people have deep beliefs about the culture war, but don't know why they should obey scripture, the essentials of theology, or the experience of spiritual discipline and community. Coming generations of Christians are going to be monumentally ignorant and unprepared for culture-wide pressures. End of quotation. Now, I dare to use the word catechize because of its associations with unpleasant and difficult memory work. But really, catechizing is just a means of teaching in a special way. And literally, it means to instruct, usually by rote, in a question and answer format. It has the element of accuracy and thoroughness so that the pupil at least knows in a formal way what it's been taught. Memory work has a habit of sticking in the mind and then arising in the mind at appropriate times. The young and the not so young need strength to carry out what they know to be true. Today, many Christians agree sex outside of marriage, splitting up a marriage for trivial reasons, is wrong. Yet they do exactly that. I've heard Christians say, Christians, I know it's wrong, but they go ahead and do it. This deliberate disobedience of what they know is wrong is at least partially due to a lack of depth in conviction of truth, which catechizing can prevent. Other religions, it seems, we read, thrive on catechizing. Roman Catholics in many places thrive on that. And so do the cults, and Islam use this form of instruction with great success. Richard Baxter proved in Kidderminster, the success of catechizing. To quote Packer's book again, open quotes, "While some divines were arguing about the divine right of episcopacy or Presbyterianism or splitting hairs about reprobation or free will, Baxter was catechizing. And 100 years later, George Whitefield recorded in his diaries, "I was greatly refreshed to see what a sweet savour of good Mr. Baxter's doctrines, works and discipline still remains to this day." So let us ensure, whatever method we use to educate our young, that we establish the great fundamental truths of Christianity deep into the minds and hearts of our young people. We cannot change the heart, but we can inform the mind first, which is God's appointed and his usual means, his common method of bringing people to faith and building up his kingdom on earth. If we fail to do this, then, like Jesus' generation, Satan is waiting on the wings to indoctrinate our children with error and heresy. Well, may God bless to us these thoughts.